Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 19th through the 21st, 2017 at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the TSR Podcast Network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 183, Cigar Box Battle with Chris Ward. So I want to welcome all of you new and longtime listeners alike, because you are in for a treat. As I said, this is episode 183, and I don't expect you to remember everything that we discuss in this episode, because we're going to cover a lot. There'll be links, and there'll be all sorts of things that we cover. I know you listen when you're painting, you're at the gym, okay, maybe not the gym, but you're commuting and all that kind of stuff. You only have to remember one thing, and that is the link to the show notes, wargamingrecon.com/WR183. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR183. So I am joined today by my buddy and co-host, Mr. Adrian Benson. Adrian, how are you today?
Doing good, John. Thanks.
And I can tell you are as excited as I am for our very special guest.
That's my excited face.
It looks, it's like Kristen Stewart. You have that acting face.
Yeah, it looks shockingly like every other face.
It does. Thank God you are not in movies, because I tell you, you got to just emotions for radio.
I don't know. Keanu Reeves makes it work with just one expression and one monotone voice.
He does, but I got to say, you probably don't look as good half naked as he does for women in The Matrix.
I'm really sure how to respond to that, but I see how it's going to go this time. All right.
Hey, I'm usually the one who's a punching bag, so it's my turn. So we are joined by half of this amazing team behind the Cigar Box Battle Company, and they produce what I have to say are some of my favorite gaming accessories. These beautiful and gorgeous and incredibly soft, as anyone who's watched my unboxing video will know, gaming mats. So we are very lucky to have the one and only Mr. Chris Ward, who is the creative manager and blog administrator for Cigar Box Battle. Chris, how are you today?
Doing great. Thank you for having me on.
So I have to say up front that we've been talking for a long time, and it was conveyed to me how difficult it is to get both you and your business partner on the same time, and I actually kind of in my head just thought, it's never going to happen. I'm never going to get either of them. And so I was just like, well, that's one that's not going to happen. And so I put like a little strike through on my checklist, like, oh, I really want them on, but probably not this year. So when you signed up, I was very, very excited and surprised. And I looked and I thought maybe it was a mistake. I thought like maybe you were thinking, oh, it's a different show that we had time for, or like you were signing up for something else. And I'm like, do they really know? Does Chris understand he's coming on, like, Wargaming Recon? Will he be? No, he's here? And I looked, and I kept looking at the email. So I said to my wife, we got this guest coming on, and I don't know if he realizes he's coming on. Like, maybe he clicked on something accidentally. So I'm glad it's not an accident.
Well, no, honestly, you take that coin and you flip it right over to the other side, and I was sitting on this end saying, gosh, we're just never going to get this put together, and so maybe I'm just going to go ahead and do it, you know? So I would respond to the request and sign up and glad to be a part of things today.
So why don't we talk about the story of Cigar Box Battle?
Sure.
What is your origin story? How did you guys start?
Well, it's super interesting. It's a really, honestly, Corey and I, Corey Rings, the other half of Box Battle, Corey and I have been friends for quite a long time and gamers for even longer. And we basically wanted to have a way to subsidize our gaming addiction. So we thought that we would start out by having a blog and start writing stories about what we would do with gaming and the games that we played and the models that we painted and the rules that we liked and the people, the authors that we admired and the products that would come out. And so in many ways, much like a lot of what other people do and your podcast does, except we were using the format of blog posts. And we started that years ago, and we thought, well, if we get enough traction, enough visitors, enough interest, enough readers, then we could possibly start maybe charging for some advertising, and that money could pay for our gaming interests and keep our wives from having to pay for our gaming interests. So we took time to start writing a bunch of stories and posts and stuff, and over about a year, we just got a lot of traction, a lot of visitors, a lot of readers, and thought to ourselves, you know what? The advertising is great, but we need a product. We want to contribute to the gaming community more than just kind of writing stories. So we started thinking about different things that we would want to do, and at the same time, thinking about the skill sets that Corey and I have. And so it seemed that battle mats were a possibility, and we talked about that, batted that around, added to think about if we were to make those, how would we make them better? Well, while that conversation was going on about the same time, we started having influence and some interest in our local gaming community, our local HMGS chapter, which is HMGS Mid-South. And for those of you who don't know what HMGS is, it's the Historical Miniatures Gaming Society. We have a pretty active club around our area in that group. And they put on a convention every year that runs at about 500 guests, 500 people who come in for the convention. It's called NashCon, and it's in a suburb of Nashville. And we were asked, because we had so much attention drawn to what we were doing locally or even through readers, we were asked if we knew anyone who could be a guest of honor for the convention. And so this is all going on at the same time that we're talking about something that we could create to contribute to the gaming community. Well, we basically found a great guest of honor for the convention. He was a friend of Corey's, a rules author named John Hill. John Hill wrote Johnny Reb and Squad Leader and a number of very popular war games through the years. And his last war game that he published, I think, was Across a Deadly Field through Osprey. Absolute expert in American Civil War. And so we contacted John, and he knew us, and we asked him to come to the convention to be guest of honor. And HMGS Mid-South kind of prepared the way for him in that way. And so he was going to get on a plane, and Corey asked him what he wanted to do while he was at the convention. And he said, you know, well, I'll run a game and talk about the new rules that are coming out. And we said, that's great. And so Corey offered to build a battlefield for John in the meantime, so that he wouldn't have to bring terrain and things across the country to be with us. And so John, very practical guy, was like, no, we don't go to all that trouble. You know, so very humble and nice. And Corey was like, no, man, I'll make something special for you. And John said, no. He kept pushing back on us. And so we told him our ideas and what we were thinking about at the time about battle mats and things like that. We were just sharing what was going on in our world with what was going on in his world. He was talking about we were talking about our interest in product development. And he loved the idea. And he said, you know what, I've got this piece of artwork from a board game that was unpublished from years ago. Why don't I just send that to you guys? And you can use that for my game at the convention. And we said, okay. So, because at that point we didn't have any art so we got that, and it worked great, and a lot of attention during the convention and a lot of conversation over that, that being on the table. And, you know, we were at dinner with John, and we said, John, we're excited about this. And you were such a great friend and to come out, and would you want to be a part of this with us? And he said, nah, I just want to write rules. You know, he sounded like he was kind of a mentor to us in the gaming community. He just said, nah, I just want to write rules, but you guys are going to do great, and I know it. And then he paused for a moment, and he said, I'll take the cheeseburger. So yeah, it was basically just him brushing it off, right? But we were excited about it. We left and got to work. From there, created the first five design store and got that up. Our first order came in, and that was something we were unprepared for. Our first order came in. It was a guy in Sweden, and we were thinking, oh yeah, I guess the internet's everywhere, and we're gonna have to figure out international shipping on this stuff. So we just weren't ready for that. It was moving faster than we were, really. And so you know, basically, to this day, that guy still orders from. We'll come out with something new, and he'll pick it up, which is great. But big picture is we really loved the idea of Battle Map. It was a product that seemed to be a natural fit for our talents, and we were blessed with the moral support and encouragement from some very important friends of ours. And it was really it was friends helping friends and people giving each other advice and recommendations. Just like anything, without the help and encouragement of others, nothing like this can really get off the ground. And some other companies, they were doing battle mats, but we wanted to find a better way to do it. So, the things that we want to focus on in the products that we create are, we want them to be convenient for people. We want, people to be able to switch out quickly and easily store them away, you know. And we want portability. We want, because we came from a world where if there was a convention or a tournament being set up, there was absolutely always some dude who had a truck or a trailer that was bringing in spray painted green plywood sheets that were heavy as all get out, you know, having to set that stuff up and tear it down and pack it away. And, you know, that's burdensome as far as, you know, portability is concerned. And we want to focus on making gaming tables beautiful and at a cost that's within reach. You know, an average person can easily spend $50, $60 on materials alone just to make something the way that you want to make it. And then that's not even including your time. And we wanted to make sure that you could get something that was as close to what you can get there, but at a great price that would, you know, be worth it. And then we're sticklers about durability. We want to create things that'll last a long time for gamers and be washable and reusable and wrinkle free. And, you know, as a company, our golden rule, you know, we have a commitment to customer service. You know, we believe that your experience as a gamer is a lot more important than our experience. And we want to make sure that you can get to do what you want to do. And if we can create something that helps you get there faster, or gets a better result, then that's where our focus is going to be, and make sure that you have a great time getting to that place. And even beyond that, I mean, you know, Jonathan, you've seen our social media and you've seen our blog. I mean, we're one of the few companies in the gaming space that really, we do a lot less of showcasing our own promotional materials and we do a lot more effort in showcasing the work and the efforts of our customers. You gamers, you guys are the real experts here. I mean, you know what your vision is, and you can create beautiful things. And if you look at like our Instagram page or our Facebook group or our Facebook page, you'll see that, you know, 90% of what we put up there is work that you as a gamer do. It's not work that we're doing. It's work that you're doing. And we're proud of that. I mean, we see gamers do amazing things, and it just happens to be that they're doing amazing things with things that we've created and brought to the community. So that makes us more excited than anything. And, you know, so we also want to, as a company, we want to strive to innovate. You know, Jonathan, you've seen the plush mats. Those are a new release for us this year. And they've been a great hit with the gamers, and they bring a realism to your game that's unmatched by any product out there. And we just want to keep bringing stuff to the table like that. Like, we just released our circular mats, and because we know that there are some places where conventions are run where hotels only have round tables. And, you know, if they can make round tables look great too, then gamers can get their game on and play fast and look good, right?
I think that's probably the best origins one who's been on the show.
Well, we really were blessed with, it honestly was, it was a culmination of a lot of people encouraging us and giving us advice and being behind us. And that story about John Hill, you know, he's passed away now, but that story about John Hill is just one of the many stories of people who were involved in the conversation, the efforts that went into getting behind Corey and I doing great things. And at the end of the day, we just want to see gamers game, and we're in an industry where things are changing. And if there's anything that we can do to perpetuate that industry, to keep it going, to keep the interest alive, then we want to do that.
I think you've hit on, at least for me anyway, and I'm sure, Adrian, you agree, that you've hit on some of the really important points about the emphasis on customer service, the importance of being able to do what you love without it negatively impacting on those around you, and on having a great product. And I think what you guys have done is something that just what every gamer dreams of doing, being able to turn this hobby of theirs into something that's self-sustaining. And I have to say, I've seen other mats out there, and I've looked at them in the past, and I thought, oh, you know, like, they're nice, whatever. Nothing compares to what you guys have created. Nothing. Nothing is as nice. Nothing is as fun to use. Nothing is as portable. Nothing is as... I've given it to my two-year-old, and basically, my wife was like, are you sure you want to let her get that? Because you spent a lot of money on this to get it. I was like, yeah, I want to see what she's going to do, and let her, like, drag it through the house and outside and, like, all this kind of stuff just to see what... And it holds up. It is. I don't know how you do it, but it is amazing.
Yeah, it's. We've got a great manufacturer that partners with us and sources great quality, high quality materials. And so, you know, that's in the production workflow. That's a super important part, is making sure that what we're doing is of quality, because, you know, we know that there are other companies that are putting their best into what they're doing, and we're just not going to do anything unless we feel like we're putting our best into it either.
Well, I was first turned on to you guys by a mutual friend of Adrian and I, who I was really hoping he could be here, but he also has a little one, and so Saturdays are hard. But Alex was like, oh, there's this company you should check out, because I had said to him that I wanted to kind of do something I'd never done before here on the show, which was to broaden the base for reviews. And I'm someone who I'm still, and Adrian is probably going to laugh at me at this, I still feel really humble and surprised by how many people tune into, it's true, how many people tune into the podcast, how many people listen to what we say and care about it, and how many support the show. And so, like, last year, like a light switch, I was like, you know, people ask for reviews and they like what we do here. And I hate to approach people, be like, hey, do you want to work something out? Do you want to give? Because I feel like, why should I be able to do that? Like, I should just go buy, but if I can't afford it, I'm not going to go and do. But Alex was like, you should talk to these guys and, like, buy some mats and see what you can do, because they're really good and people would like to hear it about it on the show. And I was like, okay. And unfortunately, I hadn't heard of you before. And I started digging. I was like, these are the most amazing looking mats on a really nicely designed website. And then your customer service was just through the roof. Because, you know, you go to Facebook, you look up a brand, you see the page, and it always says, like, responds pretty fast. Nobody responds pretty fast. But you guys, it was a weekend, and you responded within hours. I'm like, it's off hours on a weekend. Who the heck knows what they're doing? And yet you took time to be like, so what are you thinking? And I was walking through the whole process. I was not expecting any of that. And I was like, oh, we have to. Yeah, you won me over. And then I haven't shut up about it. I've been all the time. I tell Adrian, I sell those mats. They're really nice, huh?
It's just like anything. You're going to put your best efforts where your heart is. And, you know, so we really are genuine gamers who, I mean, I've been gaming fifth grade, you know, so, and I'm a middle-aged man now. So, you know, it's always been a passion of ours. We are genuine, and it's just something that we enjoy and want to keep doing. And if we can create something that's going to make other people's gaming experiences better, then we're glad for that.
Yeah, well, it comes through in the product, definitely. I don't have a two-year-old that I can give them to have them haul them around the house or anything, but having used them in a couple of games, and at a convention John and I just attended, where they get a little bit of hard use. I mean, they're really, it's really a great product. It's durable. And the thing, the two things that stand out about it that other mats really don't, that I kind of appeal to me, is one being slightly oversized. I love that because then you can just take your foam hills and tuck them underneath the mat. Most mats that are out there are made specifically for a 4x6 table, which is fine. But then if you try to slide your hills and whatnot underneath them, it ends up not being big enough for the table. So I like that. And I like the fact that you can fold them up. You can roll them up into a ball and stuff them into a bag if you want. And when you pull it out, it's not going to be wrinkled or anything, which you can't do with, what I've used before, obviously, is what everybody's used. It's a big piece of felt. You can't do that with a piece of felt. So, yeah, these are great products. I love them.
I appreciate that.
We use the Tundra one, which, for people watching, I have right here. And I got to say, when I looked at it on your website, I thought, okay, that looks nice. But it looked white to me, and I couldn't tell a whole lot of difference. And then it came, and I looked at it. I got close because I was looking for things wrong with the mats. I said, there has to be something wrong. Nothing is as good as it seems. So I'm going to look like the colors aren't going to be as bright. There's going to be something wrong. It's just going to be like a big white thing that they're calling Tundra, and like something's going to be wrong in it. So I'm getting it. I'm looking really close, and the gradient of color, how it seamlessly blends from one thing to another, but the colors are also clearly defined. So you get that. You get the great stitching on it. Like, I looked at that, I said, okay, there's going to be some sewing that's not going to be matched up just right, because nothing, again, is as good as it seems. And I was looking for things that didn't line up right, things that weren't hooked right. I work with people who are into sewing. I brought the mats in. I said, okay, look at these and tell me what's wrong with them. Like, where did they mess up? Because I couldn't believe my eyes. And then we brought it to TotalCon, which is a big tabletop RPG kind of board game convention in Central Mass now. And, you know, when you bring something like this to a convention, that's when you really put it through its paces. We had grown-ups playing, not so much kids, but they did well. And like you said, Adrian, just shoved it in a backpack. And it's been folded up ever since, and I pulled it out, and it looks great.
You know, one of the funny jokes about the Tundra mat is when I was originally designing that, Corey and I went back and forth because, you know, the blankets are white before you print on them, basically. So we were asking, questioning ourselves, you know, people think that they're buying a white blanket or, you know, we added, you know, the subtle textures and the subtle grays and blues on there and just put it out there. And, you know, it's one of our best sellers. It's that. And I think now we've got about six different winter themed varieties, you know, winter over scrubland and winter with some roads on it, frozen roads. And then we've got like a fantasy winter one that we worked with Osprey on when they were Phil Smith, actually, from Osprey. We worked with him a little bit on it before Frostgrave was coming out, before we even knew Frostgrave was Frostgrave. We just we were hearing rumors of a Frozen City skirmish game, and so we jumped on that. You know, one of the things that we do is that we pride ourselves on is we make sure to respond to our customers in as much as we can. You know, that's within reason. You know, if I were to go back to the very beginning, you know, every week we get requests from different gamers wanting something that's specific for how they game, because there's so much customization in what we do as an industry. Mm-hmm. So we're not really able to touch on everything, but, you know, there's some big shifts in what we've done. And if you go back and you look at the beginning, you'll see we had logos on the front of the mats at one point, and customers requested to have that change. So we worked with our manufacturer to get the logo put on the back of the mat so that there is no logo on the front end. So if you ever see a Cigar Box Battle mat with the logo on the front, it's you gotta start imagining about the scarcity of those items. And there's not many of them around, and they're quite rare. And on the secondary market now, people, you know, like any gaming product, things go out of print or change, and people start putting an intrinsic value on what previously existed, even though it was something that they complained about in the first place, right? And then we responded by adding hex pattern to our mats. Gamers wanted to find a way to supplement the games that required hex-based movement. And so we were able to bring in hex patterns and grids. And then there's some specific games that people wanted some specific resources for, like Across a Deadly Field, Civil War, those grand tactical maps that are used in the rule book. We found a way to license those with Osprey, and we have those available. So if people that play that game want to run those specific scenarios, they can actually go online and order the mat that is the scenario that they want to play, and it's all pre-set up for them. So we really do try to respond to customers and the ebbs and flows of interest in our product.
Yeah, I was looking at those mats for Across the Deadly Field, actually. I've got the rules. I haven't played them yet, but yeah, I was thinking about actually buying those myself. They're really nice looking. That's the thing I like about the some of the specific terrain-specific mats you have, because like if you're getting started in gaming, or even if you've been in it a while, I mean, you can throw a lot of money at purchasing terrain, roads, things like that, hedges and whatnot. And having those things printed on the mats the way you do with a lot of the mats is actually pretty handy. So,
yeah, and you know, one of the things that we've seen a lot lately with those Across the Deadly Field mats is because they're designed for grand tactical play, it's as if you're a little higher above, elevated higher above the battlefield than like you things that you would see on maybe a field that's created more intentionally for 28 millimeter skirmish or mass battle. And yeah. Some interesting things that we've seen lately is those Across the Deadly Field mats have been used by people playing micro armor. If you remember micro armor games.
Oh yeah.
And then, so there's a lot of interest in that. And then there's a lot of interest in using those Across the Deadly Field mats for airplane games like Wings of Glory, because it looks like the airplanes are higher above the land features, the landscape features. And
yeah.
People have done that. And it looks really cool when they do it. So
yeah.
That's two ways to use those mats outside of Civil War gaming, American Civil War gaming, that the customers have actually been the innovators on.
It was funny when we had released the unboxing video I had done, which was a while ago. We'll have a link in the show notes. And some of the feedback I got when it went out and, you know, was sharing it on social media, a few people had remarked pertaining to the logo being on the front, because they said, oh, you know, we have those mats and we don't know why you like them because the logo's on the front and anyone who needs to do that, blah, 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 you know, complaint or whatever. And I said, like, what are you talking about? My mats have it on the bottom. Like, I don't get what you mean it's on the top. And I was like, well, maybe you're right, because maybe I'm wrong. And, like, I wasn't at the mat. So I got home, and I look at the mats, and I look at one, I'm like, no, it's on the bottom. And I look at another one, it's on the bottom. I look at the other one, it's on the bottom. And then I go back to the video, just in case something. And in the video, I literally flip the mat. So it's you know, you see the top, it's all the, I think it's a grassland. It's all, like, the nice texture and everything. And I go, flip! And then you see the logo. I'm like, did they not watch the video? So I was a little confused by this. But it's interesting to know that once upon a time, you guys did have such a thing.
Yeah, and if those guys have got those version of the battle mats, then they've got something that, you know, is probably a little special and there's not much of anymore. So they're not being produced that way.
It's funny to me because I'm a shameless self-promoter. I think you have to be because no one else is going to usually. So like I got the Wargaming Recon stuff that people see all over. And I mean, Adrian's wearing a shirt and like I get bumper stickers on the car, like just in case anyone needed to know about the show, because I don't know why, but it's what I do. And yeah. I just thought, I love actually how you guys do the logo for your mats. Not only that they're on the bottom, but they're really nicely done. The use of the color kind of pops, but not enough that it distracts from going through with the mat so you can see it. But I even just like the design of it and the placement of it, you can tell a lot of thought was put into that.
Well, and in the very beginning when we had those logos on the front, honestly, we're pretty easygoing guys. And so we just always would just put a little set of trees or something over the logo, or, you know, if we didn't want to see it, or if we knew, you know, how many times in any given game are your figures going to be tucked away in a corner anyway, right? So it's very rare for that to happen, but I understand the pain point, and, you know, that's why we listen to the customers and change things. And we, this is about them. This isn't about us, you know? So, and we're thankful for their feedback.
Why don't we talk about one of your newer offerings? And you kind of touched on it earlier. I think they're my favorite mats that you do, and they are the plush mats, mainly because I'm still trying to convince my wife that we should use them as blankets on the bed because they are just so good and soft. So like we could do it there. And then should I be sick or have a cold? I could just game in bed. And yeah, I haven't won her over yet, but I'm trying.
Well, the plush mats are a very popular new item. They're available in a number of the designs. On our web store, when you go to one of the product pages at the bottom, there's a drop-down menu that shows the variations of that product that are available. And some of our more basic designs and more popular designs, like just basic grass, basic desert, or basic fields and European-looking environments, that's where you're going to find the plush option. You're probably not going to find the plush. You're not going to find the plush option on like cityscapes and roads and things like that, because it just wouldn't seem normal. But one of the things that we really like about the product is, you know, the plush is it's somewhere between like an eighth and a quarter inch high fur type material. So it brings some dimension and some depth and some realism to the tabletop when you've got your miniatures set out on there. And if you've got if you're playing with tanks, if you're playing Flames of War or bolt action, or you're playing with vehicles, you can actually, when you move those vehicles, you know, they'll create tread marks in the plush as you move them forward, and you know, things that just bring that extra little special something to the game.
Yeah, and I like the plush mats a lot. I mean, you know that people making terrain mats out of teddy bear fur is all the rage nowadays. And they look really good. I've played on a few of the mats, but I don't have the time or inclination to order teddy bear fur and then paint it and shave it and do all the work that's necessary myself. So plush mats are, having them readily available like that's a big selling point for me.
Yeah.
Now, were they requests from customers, or were they something that you guys are just like, oh, we want to do something different?
It was, we didn't have any requests from customers on that one. That was something where we just sat down and said, what's the next step, you know?
And then you guys have very recently, like early spring, late winter of 2017, you unveiled a new type of mat, your circle mats, which I gotta say, I've never seen anything like them ever.
Well, it really is for a specialty gamer, you know, someone who is very limited on space or only has a certain type of way to game, and or wants the challenge of a non-opposing side battlefield, right? You know, we've seen products in the gaming industry be created and then rules pop up that adapt to products. And
yeah,
we thought to ourselves, we would love to see what gamers can do with this stuff. It's something that we can easily bring to the community. And if there's a gamer out there that's got a big enough brain to figure out how to make it a challenging, fun system and rules to go with it, then we want to see that. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that play. Our biggest seller for the circular mats is the naval stuff, the water scapes, because there really is no sense of the direction is not as pertinent to the, you know, to naval interactions. So whether you're coming from the east or the west, it doesn't matter. You're in the water and you're about to hit another ship, right? So that's where we've seen the most interest on those circular mats.
And I think it was either through your social media or on your website, one of the things you had mentioned for the circle mats was using them for convention play. Like if you're at a con or whatever, there's a bar and you just put it on the bar table and you can play some sort of gaming there. And that kind of struck me because TotalCon for us, at its actually both venues, they actually have gaming right there at near almost adjacent to the bar. And so there's no delineation from that. So if someone wants to play and they want to go and hang out at the bar and do the stuff at the same time, it's there, but like no one crosses that line to actually game in the bar. So it's nice to be able to bring that with you and not just have to say, okay, I got to stop because I got to go get something to drink. I got to get something to eat or whatever. This way you can kind of continue the fun instead of just being like, oh wait, no, we got to wait because we don't have anything that'll fit on the table. And like you make it work.
Yeah, our you know, our primary, when we think about the person that we think we're creating products for, it really is someone who needs just wants to be able to play when they want to be able to play, where they want to be able to play, how they want to be able to play, and just be as impulsive as they want to be and be ready on the fly to do anything, anywhere. And that's really what our products are for. It's so easy to, like you guys said earlier, stuff one of these things into a backpack along with your rule books, or if you carry around a battle bag, or, you know, an army bag kind of thing. These products fold up and flip it right inside there, and very convenient to take them with you on the fly. Just pull them out, flop them down wherever you're at. We've seen gamers playing games on the floor of hotel room or of hotel lobbies or hallways and outside of convention halls. And we've seen all kinds of situations that people find themselves in. And it's a reality that you may have to play on a table that's a circle one day and don't want a big battle mat that's going to be dragging the floor, or you know, a PVC battle mat wouldn't even go on something like that. And, you know, the neoprene battle mats, the mouse pad style battle mats, if they have to fall over the edge of something, it just kind of, they ridge up, and, you know, so they need a really flat surface that's bigger than the actual mat itself for it to work and conform to the surface that's put under them. And that was the, one of the characteristics that we really started this with and thinking about, because one of the things, if you look at some of the photographs of games that customers have sent us, one of the most appealing immediate benefits that's recognized by any gamer is that you can create a landscape that has height differentiation by putting things underneath the mats, and you can have the hills and you can have the canyons and the ridges and plateaus. You can have all of that without feeling like you have to place a piece of unmatched terrain on top of your surface. So it creates, you're basically getting something that is in alignment with what your vision is as a gamer. You're getting something that can be flexible with the terrain that you want to use it on. And you can have much more consistent look and feel with your game as it's happening.
So there's one thing that's always kind of bothered me about wargaming tables, and these mats fix it. So, and it's not going to be another pet peeve episode. We've done too many of those lately. But one thing that it's really annoyed me is when people put stuff out on the table, so that they whether they have a mat or they're using just something they got from Joann Fabrics or whatever it is, you get your table and then they put the hills on. And so usually they stack them because you're using store terrain or whatever. So you get one here and then the next is here and the next is here. And you have all these really, really nice 90 degree angles, and hills don't look like that. It's great for a war game table. And I get that we need to have some sort of suspension of belief here so that we know it's not accurate and it's a game and stuff, but I want to feel as if it could be real, and I've yet to see a hill that's 90 degrees. So when your mats came and I looked at it, and you can get away with just using like towels and stuff. You roll up and put them underneath. You need to buy anything else. But even if you had like an actual nice hill or whatever, and you're stacking them, you put them underneath, you get that really nice slope so that the models can still stand on there. They're not going to fall off. They're not going to slide to their doom or anything. You don't have to roll a 4+ like in Necromunda. They're there, but it looks good too. So it's not, you're not playing Jenga here. You don't get all your Legos going, whatever. Like you got a hill. And it looks good, it looks real, but it's also practical. And so I like that you can achieve this without getting rid of the practicality of it, and you don't have to just go all practical and sacrifice the aesthetic beauty of it. So it has this really nice balance there for me, and it's something that I wish more people would make use of, because like I look at game tables, and I feel like they're building a skyscraper out of these out of these hill segments, and it's just... I look at it and I could be like, oh, maybe you should think about getting something else and just using it, because just it's a small thing, but I tell you, it's an annoyance.
Well, I think you have recognized the very thing that many people have recognized about the Cigar Box battle mats. So that's the immediate first reaction for most people that see those types of things done that way. If you look at, there's some photographs from Little Wars this weekend. There's a bunch of games being played. That's a convention in Chicago for those that don't know. But there's a bunch of games being played on Cigar Box battle mats, and quite a few of them you can see people have, you know, put the hills and features underneath the mats. And it just, I mean, it brings a much more, in my mind, it brings a much more satisfying gaming experience, because you can make the terrain what you want the terrain to be and not feel confined to the piece that you're placing on top of something else.
This might sound odd, but I almost feel like, for the 4x6 mats anyway, that the 4x6 plus mats could use even a little bit more fabric in them, that they're almost not quite long enough, depending on what you're doing for putting stuff under it. I mean, you don't want them hanging and touching the floor, because that's just ridiculous. But just like a smidge more, I almost feel. So I put one on my game table downstairs, and I put some stuff under, and then it starts creeping up and up and up. And so you realize there's a point of no return for how tall you can make a hill and stuff. But just like a smidge more, I almost think, and I'm probably alone because I'm usually the one person staying outside the box, I almost think just a little bit more fabric.
Yeah, that was the original intent, is that we're over 4 foot by 6 foot because we want to give people that room to create some vertical interest in underneath the mats. And that gives them, you know, when you start stacking things up, the sides start drawing in. And so that's why they couldn't be just 4 foot by 6 foot. They had to be, they're actually closer to 5 foot by 7 foot, if you measure them.
Yeah, they're, what, 56 inches by 76, something like that?
Close. Now, the process that we use to create them uses moisture and heat and cloth. And when you put those two things together, there can be slight variation in people's outcomes, you know. So every mat that prints is a individual product. It's a unique product, because it may be, you know, even though it may be unnoticeable and just millimeters or you know, micrometers difference from one another, it's still, they're going to either draw up or expand slightly just because of those three basic materials. You have heat, moisture, and cloth. So that's in the production process, those are things that create some inconsistencies, but not really enough to change the outcomes. But at the end of the day, they roughly, they're close to 60 by 80.
A buddy of mine, I think, just happened to get a bad one once from you guys, where instead of being, you know, straight across for whatever the distance was, it came in a fair bit. And he had expressed to me that when he talked to you guys, you immediately provided some amazing customer service for him, took care of it, you made things right, and you did it in such a way that he didn't feel like he had done anything wrong. And it wasn't his fault, like, it came that way. But some people, like myself included, I'd be like, oh, I don't know if I should bother them. Like, this is just how it is. But taking that situation, and I'm sure it's like one in a million times it's ever going to happen, but just taking it and then fixing it and doing it speedy and efficiently, it turned them into a customer for life.
Well, if you think about it, if you work at a place or if you own a desktop printer, right, at your house, you're going to print things on your desktop printer. And every now and then you're going to print something, you're going to hit print and it's going to send it to the printer and something's going to happen and you're not going to be able to use whatever you were trying to print out, right? Sometimes that happens. It's the printing process. That's what occurs sometimes, right? And because of that, we know that there's some inconsistencies that can occur, and that's why we jump to serve. We want to make sure that in the event that something like that does slip through our quality control process, you're not going to hear from someone at a warehouse, or say, you're going to hear from me, or you're going to hear from Corey, and we're going to take care of you very, very quickly. And if we've not, then we've dropped a ball. And I mean, like we said before, customer service is the golden rule for us, and that's, it's the centerpiece of what we do. And we want to make sure that you can game. And if there's anything that happened in the process, we're going to do whatever we can to make that right for you.
You touched a little bit on some of the licensed property across the Deadly Field. I think there's something I think you had done for Mr. Sam Mustafa, who's going to be coming on the show on a later episode. He just released a new set of rules. So when is the Rommel mat coming out? I know one's being done. It's just, when is it coming?
I would need to talk with Sam and ask him what he thinks would be the iconic place in history to represent there. I know Sam helped us a lot. He was a main advisor on our Waterloo mat. That actual product was created with his help and his vision while he was writing his Blücher rule. And if I mispronounced that, Napoleonic gamers are going to skewer me, but
I think you did better than I do in my head with that. I'm always like, did I say it right? I think it's Blücher, but
okay. All right.
Adrian, you're going to correct me too. I know, cause you're a Napoleonic gamer, but I ruin it. I know I do.
I am, but I'm not a German speaker, but I've always heard it pronounced Blücher.
Well, there you go. So anyway, we worked with Sam very closely on making sure if you had to confine Waterloo to a 4-foot by 6-foot-ish area, what would that look like? And how would those landmarks and battle areas be correlated with one another and be made in a way where the gaming experience would be really, really great? And Sam helped us a lot, an awful lot. We would iterate and send examples to him and show him what we were thinking, and he would give some feedback and some criticism, and you know, so that process was really a partnership. And he has always been an advocate of what we're doing, and vice versa. We think his honors system and all of his rules that he's created there are just something to be admired. He puts his heart and soul into those things, and we love every bit of it. So Sam's a great guy, and I'm glad you have the opportunity to talk with him soon. One of the mats that is going to be available this week, and this week being a few weeks before this podcast releases, I guess, is a mat that was specifically designed with the Crucible Crush guys up in Canada for Flint and Feather. We're going to create a mat for exclusive use with Flint and Feather that they liked and wanted. We just did a grid-based version of one of our most popular mats for a gaming system called 10 Soldiers in Action. So, yeah, we're excited and always looking for great people to do great things with.
Besides your licensed mats, these new ones that you have down the pipe, what other kind of mats or other products even are you guys planning to unleash throughout 2017 or even early 2018?
Well, I guess I'm just excited, so I'm going to go ahead and tell you. This is probably the first time this will be public, but we actually, for a very limited time only, we're going to run a Kickstarter later this year, probably late summer. We actually have capability for a limited time to do our mat designs double-sided on a fleece mat. So those are going to be available for purchase through Kickstarter. And you should be able to see advertisements and promotions on some pretty standard places. If you're a gamer who looks around for gaming things, you'll probably be able to find some sort of idea of when and how this is going to happen in the details. And once the Kickstarter goes live, there'll be some video resources and some promotional resources. And along with the Kickstarter, there's a couple of never before released designs that are going to come out as pledge, not pledge. What do they call it in a Kickstarter when you,
add-ons?
Well, no, when you reach a certain threshold, something becomes available. And so
stretch goals.
Yeah, we're gonna have some new unique mat designs that are going to be available as stretch goals. And so anyway, basically the opportunity that we have is going to allow someone to get a battle mat that has two designs that they choose on either side, you know, of a single battle mat.
Well, sign me up. Just mark me down as your first Kickstarter backer for this. And Adrian, what, you're number two. So we'll get Alex and we'll get Mike. So you'll get the whole Wargaming Recon team here. We'll all support. And that's fantastic. I'm excited for you guys.
Yeah, and it's going to be great for gamers, because if they're going to be able to access two designs for less than what two designs would actually cost. So it's going to be something that can happen. And our turnaround time, I think, is going to be fairly quickly on that quick on that too. So we're excited about it.
Cool.
So this is one of the things that I think Kickstarter is really good for. When you have a small organization, small company that has a great idea, and they need to bring it to fruition. And far too often, I see a lot of what I would consider larger corporations using Kickstarter so they don't have to pay the money for it. But I think this is fantastic. I think this is a perfect example of what they do. I would presume, and I hope, that the Kickstarter people will see this and give it a staff pick, because that makes a big difference for people. But if nothing else, we're going to promote the heck out of it here as soon as we know when that's going live. And we'll have to get you back on to actually talk about the Kickstarter and all of that kind of process. And so we can spend more time on it. And I'm serious. Sign me up. I don't know what it's going to cost me, but sign me up.
And yeah, definitely.
I'm excited. It
doesn't sound like you're hurting for ideas, but I don't know if you're familiar with a company called Firelock Games and their new pirate game, Blood and Plunder. Probably could use some specialized mats for that.
In January this past year, or no, not this past year, this year, in January of this year, or December, I can't remember which, we did release our Caribbean Waters mat.
Yep, saw that.
That was purposeful, all right? I bought the Kickstarter. I participated in that Kickstarter and supported Firelock. And in the meantime, I was like, I want a mat to play this on. So...
all right, we're on the same page then. That's good.
Yeah. So, it's like a greenish, bluish, very aqua colored Caribbean looking water, with light reflections in it. And you can see some of the coral reef underneath the water. And, and I think what I'm going to do personally, when I get that going, is I'm going to take, spray cans of expanding foam from construction stores. Right.
Yep.
And I'm going to take and build, I'm going to cut out cardboard templates that I want to be like cliff areas or cavern areas. And I'm going to take the expanding foam and spray it on those cardboard templates and let it expand up.
Yep.
Then take a razor to it and
carve it up
and create the, the playable skirmish areas around the Caribbean water areas. And so I can kind of create some of the scenes that it looks like there are in those rule books, where there's a pirate ship kind of anchored. And
oh yeah, the artwork in that rule book is amazing. Nothing I'll ever do, but yeah.
Well, I'm going to try. I'm going to start carving up some spray foam and seeing if I can't put little suspended bridges between areas and palm trees. And that's going to be a fun project for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think you need to buy the mat, Adrian, since we're going to be running this at conventions in 2018, which I guess it's an announcement for us. We didn't tell anyone yet, but surprise!
Yeah, no, Blood and Plunder, that's definitely our convention game for the coming year. So, but yeah.
That's awesome.
Don't you like how I get other people to spend their money instead of me on these things that are fantastic, but you should spend your money, Adrian, on this mat.
Yeah. Yeah. John's a funny guy. I've never seen him buy anything. I've never seen him paint anything. I've never seen him read a set of rules.
I was gaming.
I promote. It's what I do. I promote all the things I would do.
That's yeah.
Before we move on to our next segment, I actually have an idea for you guys that you're probably going to cut down. And it's partly because I'm lazy and partly because I'm afraid I'm going to mess stuff up. So you have what I think is a really neat idea, your 4x6 plus cutout roads and rivers. Have you ever considered selling it where the stuff is pre-cut out?
I mean, so can I employ your children to pull out the scissors? The challenge there is the manpower. If you look at that cutout roads and rivers mat, there's a lot of versions. There's a lot of parts and pieces to it that are windy and curvy. And not something that you could really create an effective die cutting machine for that could trim that stuff out very quickly. And it would be quite expensive, I think. Mm-hmm. And honestly, when if you ask a gamer, hey, would you rather buy a pair of scissors or pay another $200 this mat to be pre-cut out? It's probably going to be a pair of scissors, right? Now, I personally have had one, and I cut it out. It just takes a few minutes to actually cut it out, so I know that may be more of a commit you want it than you want to give, John. but I've cut them out, and what I do is I never know what scenarios I'm going to play and what the roads need to look like or do. And what I've done is I've taken and trimmed out the longer strips of the roads and rivers, and I'll take a pair of scissors and I'll cut a little notch about every foot in one of the roads and on opposing sides. And then that little notch will allow that road to be folded over on itself, and you can customize the winding or shape of or direction of the road.
The reason why I ask is we had a guest on a handful of episodes ago, Michael Johns. He's a YouTuber who does amazing terrain. And we learned in that episode that I can't be trusted with anything sharp. And so he ran a game at a convention. And at the game, there was a very special gift for me. And it was a take-home container of kitty scissors, first aid stuff, bandages, and everything. And he says, don't trust me near sharp things.
I love it that there's gamers with senses of humor. That's good.
So that's why I asked, because I saw the stuff and I was like, oh, this looks gorgeous. And, you know, it's a way to kind of get stuff out really quick and easy. In one, am I actually going to do it? Probably not. In two, if I did, I'd hurt myself. So I was curious. Just
wondering. Well, wish that we could, but I think the actual cost to getting that done would be probably prohibitive.
That's understandable. So at this point, I'm going to move on to one of my favorite segments of the show, and it's called Mailbag. So it's where we get to share some listener feedback and comments and questions and all that kind of stuff. And this listener feedback actually isn't feedback about the podcast. It's some exciting news, I think. So we have a listener who posted on our Facebook page that they had listened to episode 176 of the show, and they had, I believe, also seen the unboxing for Cigar Box Battle Mats. And they said, they quote, I just ordered 3 plush mats Monday. They shipped in less than 24 hours. They'll arrive by Thursday, so no shipping problems here. And then they proceeded to send us tons of beautiful pictures of the mats of yours that they received. So they were very happy. And I got to say, they're not the first. They're not the second. They're not the third. They are the fifth person I've heard of who's listened to the show and seen the unboxing video and knew that you were going to be coming on and we're going to be reviewing the mats and talking about everything, and then went out and bought the mats. So that's what I love to hear, because whenever we get review product or like a guest like you comes on, I always worry about making sure we give enough value back to you. And fast rule I have is that nothing and nobody gets on the show unless there's someone or something I believe in. So if I think you're doing good stuff, great stuff, I'm going to ask to review things. I'm going to ask for you to come on the show. And I love when other people feel the same way, and then they go out and they spend money and they get whatever, or they support whomever. So I was very happy about that. And just more customers. That's great.
Well, I hope you share those photos. That's basically why we do this, is we want to see what people are doing. And we love other people's games as much as ours. And we want to, you know, if you send those to us, those photos will be on the Cigar Box Battle Facebook page soon, you know. So I'm always overwhelmed with the ingenuity and the use and the amazing things that our customers do with our products. And I think that's part of the secret of our products. If I had to help anyone else who wants to do a business in gaming, is create something that someone can make their own. And I think this is a product that enables gamers to be as original as they want to be.
We actually have an announcement, and Adrian, you didn't realize I was going to make this announcement right now, but we actually have an announcement that actually kind of ties in to visibility of your mats, believe it or not. So the announcement is that we're very excited here at Wargaming Recon because in addition to doing the podcast and all this kind of stuff, Adrian and I are both going to be in a documentary that's been filmed already. It's coming out early 2018. Is that right, Adrian? Is that when they're doing the film debut?
Yeah, well, they're going to screen it at TotalCon next year is what I thought.
Yeah, it's called The Now A Word From A Gamer. So we're both actually paid actors, which is kind of funny. But as a result of this...
Paid $1.
Hey, $1. It was a gold dollar, and I have it in a very safe place. It's my second acting credit, both times as myself, because I'm very good at myself.
That's good, yeah.
But because of this, we are going to be the flagship wargaming show for a brand new Roku channel coming out. It's going to be put out by Nerd Broadcasting Network. It's going to be another show from the TSRPN podcast network, MythWits, which is a really good geek and science and tech kind of podcast. And they do video episodes every Monday night. But we're going to be on there doing video. We're going to be hitting up Apple TV. We're going to be on the Amazon Fire and Google Play. So people will be able to see us. We're creating extra video content. We're going to be doing actual play games, which will be using the Cigar Box Battle Mats. And I've done a ton of unboxings, and I'll be doing more of them. And Adrian, I think you are too. And all the unboxings are done in my gaming space down in the basement where I have my table with the Cigar Box Battle Mat. And every time I'm like, and so look at this nice Cigar Box Battle Mat. And here we got a thing. So I don't know how many people are going to watch these things, to be honest. But even if it's just like 10 people, one people, whatever, we're going to be out there and they're going to be seeing your stuff used all the time. And I was very surprised when I looked on YouTube and saw how many people have YouTube videos just talking about the Cigar Box Battle Mats or using them and stuff. And so we will also be doing such a thing for whatever we're doing, but we're going to have all sorts of these other things going on out there. And I'm excited about it.
That's congratulations.
Thank you. I don't know what it means other than more work, but it's fun.
Mostly so far, that's what it means.
Well, yeah, and you had to spend more money. I got Adrian to spend some more money and Alex to spend some more money.
Well, I think that's fantastic. And if there's anything that we do that can make your presentation or experience better, we're very proud to be a part of that.
I will not be shy to chat with you guys about stuff and see what we got. Blood and Plunder. So Adrian, you're going to buy the mat and we'll do some actual play games, which will be on the Roku channel and so forth, using the Blood and Plunder rules and the Caribbean mat. Cause I mean, what other mat are we going to use? I can't wait to get your new naval mat that you just put out actually. Cause that would be great for the Wizard of the Coast game War at Sea, which they don't make anymore. But for some nice North Atlantic gaming, that'd be really good too.
Yeah. The cold water mat. Yeah, those are beautiful. So it will this show be a like a live cast, or will it a live play kind of thing, or is it going to be something that you record and produce?
We're still a little bit up in the air as to the details on the actual play kind of stuff. I think our plan is that we will offer some stuff for live streaming as well, but the hope is to just kind of record video as much as we can and then highlight actual portions of the game so that people don't have to see us playing for 6 hours. They can see, you know, like an hour or 2 hours of it. So we'll be like, and on this turn, here's some of the highlights, and we'll have the video footage of that, and we'll voice over or narrate it kind of like a documentary or whatever. But we'll have all sorts of other stuff. We'll have, whenever we record the podcast, we record live via YouTube Live, and so we'll have video from that. So those will also make it into the Roku channel and Apple TV and so forth, so people will be able to see us interviewing guests and talking about things. So we'll have that. We'll have the unboxings. We'll have a variety of things. And we have people in Australia, a buddy of ours who does our audio editing and does our show notes. He's a radio presenter. So he has all this really cool gear. He has GoPros and things. So I'm expecting some action shots from him. He's going to be doing vlogs. We're going to have terrain making how to's, and just we're branching out in things that I never thought was would ever have happened when we started the show a million years ago. But it's neat. So it's cool. We'll see how it goes.
That's fantastic. I look forward to seeing it.
And I got to say, none of this, mainly the podcast, but none of this would be possible without support from our Patreon backers. We are very blessed to have support from a variety of people who listen to the show and love what we do here. So I want to thank Patrick, Chris Parker from dayofbattlegames.com, and Kyle from Vermont in particular, for their support of the show. And I want to say that, like Kickstarter, Patreon has these reward levels that you can kind of do, and you can set goals. So kind of like with a Kickstarter campaign, you say, we need X amount of money to make double-sided mats, but then we need to reach, we have a stretch goal in order to do these other designs that are going to come out. So Patreon has where you create your own goals for it, and we are $55 away, which is half, actually a little less than half away from our next goal, where we will be able to afford to hire and pay Joshua, our audio editor, a fair wage for him to actually do real edits of the show so that it'll sound truly the best it can sound, give a great listening experience to people. And so we're looking forward to reaching that, and want to remind people that they can become backers of the show for as little as $1 per month. That'll get you episodes before non-backers, and you get behind-the-scenes content. And then we have reward levels for a variety of things. You can get custom Wargaming Recon dice, which I think are really neat, and we have postcards and like just all sorts of stuff on our Patreon page, which is wargamingrecon.com/Patreon. And I don't have any other announcements, which is great because I don't want to be long-winded. Chris, do you have anything else you want to talk about with Cigar Box Battle, things that are coming up or things that we didn't cover, or how people can get in touch with you?
Yeah, if you any questions about our products, you can always email us at info@cigarboxbattle.com. And please check out our Facebook page. It's just search for Cigar Box Battle Mats on Facebook. And I think the page is just Cigar Box Battle. If you want to see some amazing things that other gamers have done with our battle mats, you can check out our feed. It's CBB Picks. Also, if you just like wargaming terrain in general, one of my passions, I have created a Pinterest page or a Pinterest board called Cool Wargaming Terrain that I started years ago. And if you just want to browse and browse and browse hundreds of things that I've aggregated together into this Pinterest board that all kinds of people have done, amazing, beautiful terrain, just create a Pinterest account and search for Cool Wargaming Terrain and find that board and look at it. And then you can follow us on Twitter at Cigar Box Battle.
Awesome. We'll have links to all of that in our show notes, which people can get by going to wargamingrecon.com/WR183. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR183. And they'll be able to find you guys and see what's going on and stay up to date, and also link to your website and all that stuff that we talked about in this episode. And yeah, all those good things. There's lots of good things. People might like to know the next episode of the show will come out on May 29th, 2017. That's episode 184, which will be our Huzzah 2017 episode where we discuss the convention. Huzzah! It's a lot of fun up there. Adrian, you got me into it, and they're a great group of people, and actually they sponsor the show too. So I'm very grateful for their kindness and generosity up there, those wonderful wargamers in Maine. A beautiful place to go. Chris, I gotta say, if you're ever looking for a trip, May up in Portland, Maine is a beautiful time and place.
This sounds like it.
Yes, it's worth your while, and it's in Portland, so there's plenty of touristy stuff to do if you bring the family along as well. So, yeah, it's a good time, Huzzah.
Yeah, I go with my wife and my daughter, and I split the time in half. Half the time I get to game and do whatever stuff for the show, and the other half we go out to eat, we shop, we see lighthouses, just beautiful, beautiful things. And I'm always trying to get people to come and go to Huzzah because it's a great family vacation. And if it wasn't, I don't know how often I'd be able to go, but because it is, and because they're so wonderful, and because it's as close as it is, it's just something that works. And I know it's more of a hike for you from down there, but it's worth it. Truly, it really is worth it. So put it on the calendar sometime down the future.
Sounds like a plan.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Chris, for coming on this episode of the show. I am so excited you were able to make it. Like I said, I wasn't sure it was going to happen, and I'm very, very happy that it did.
Well, good. I hope you got some great feedback, and hope I helped you guys with your efforts today.
You taught me things I never knew about the company and about the mats, and make me even more excited about them than I was before. And as anyone can tell by looking at Adrian's face, he is just jumping for joy. So,
well,
I got you to laugh. That never happens.
Anyone that has someone like Keanu Reeves to look up to has good things coming for him. So,
well, yeah, John likes to give me a hard time about stuff like this. It's just because he's highly emotional, and I'm not. So,
hey, I'm a third Italian. What can I say about it? We speak with our hands, and we're very emotional.
Yeah, third Italian and half girl.
Well, I was going to say in half not French. Just because that's not allowed.
Right. That's an inside joke. Oh, my God.
Thank you again, Chris, for coming on the show. Thank you, Adrian, for being here today. I know you were on call for work, so that made it interesting.
It made it dicey, but it worked out. No calls, so we're good.
Yay, that's good.
Yeah.
I want to thank everyone for taking the time to listen to this episode of Wargaming Recon. Don't forget to check out the show notes. Don't forget to go and look at Cigar Box Battle, buy a few mats or a few dozen, support the Kickstarter, check out us on social media and support us on Patreon. And you know that no matter how busy you are, no matter what's going on in your life, you know that you need to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon on your mobile device. Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the TSR Podcast Network. Visit wargamingrecon.com/TSRPN for more information and to learn about the other good shows on the network. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew. Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit wargamingrecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 19th through the 21st, 2017 at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.